What's your problem? What's your problem? We hear that phrase sometimes, right? When we see a person with a look of concern or frustration on their face, we might ask, what's your problem? At least Laverne would. That's how he likes to talk. What's your problem? And then they will answer, and we'll get a quick snapshot of that person's problem and the solution that's going to fix things, right? Maybe it's Jessica's problem. The baby keeps throwing the food on the floor. Or your kids are older than that now, right? Okay. Now they throw the food on the wall. Something like that. Maybe it's the mower won't start. You know? In some ways, all of life is identifying problems and coming up with solutions. Like even the houses that we live in, absolutely everything about that house is a problem that somebody found a solution to. Either that or it's a problem that you're trying to find a solution to. How come the hot water heater isn't hot enough? What's your problem? Can you imagine meeting Jesus and noticing frustration on his face, and then just imagine asking Jesus, what's your problem? And Jesus might say to us, it's not really my problem. It's the problem of the whole world. And if we can fix that problem, the whole world will be fixed. Would you be interested to know what that problem is? What is Jesus going to say is his problem, is the problem of the whole world? Is it likely to be anything that people are talking about today in America who are running for office? Is it going to be one of those things that's that they're campaigning on, those issues? What is it going to take to fix the whole world? What's Jesus' problem? Really, what's all of our problem? Open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36 so that we can see what Jesus says is the problem. And hopefully, when we find out what Jesus' problem is, we're going to make it our problem as well. And we're not only going to make Jesus' problem our problem, we're going to fix it, right? We're going to fix it. Now, when we come to the end of Matthew 9, if you're thinking about the whole book and kind of the flow of things that's going on, we find that Jesus is getting his disciples ready to become missionaries, all right? He's just been touring. He gave the great Sermon on the Mount, and then he starts touring around doing miracles, and he starts with the centurion and a leper and these rejects and so forth, and he calls Matthew, this terrible sinner, into his inner circle, and he's building his ministry up and collecting his disciples, and then the next phase is to, all right, we're going to send you guys out because this is going to be your job for the rest of your life. This is going to be the plan. This is going to be the program. And if you read chapter 10, he gives them all these instructions about go this way and go that way and tell people this and that. And, you know, when they throw you in jail, then this is how you should behave and so forth. He gets them ready to go out into the world and experience all those things that he's going to experience and that his followers are going to experience. And we've been following that pattern ever since for 2,000 years, right? Isn't that how the book of Matthew ends? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Therefore, go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. But first we have to understand what is the main problem so that we can understand how the solution works, how this missionary thing works. So when we ask Jesus, what's your problem? And he tells us he kind of expects his problem to become our problem so that we become part of fixing the problem of the whole world. So are you ready for that? Pretty simple. It says here, Matthew 9, 36 to 38, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word from our Lord Jesus, put right here into your precious word, the Bible. And Lord, help us to understand what you're telling us here in this passage. Help us to take on this job of praying for more harvesters to go out into your harvest field. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right, so we've got the problem. Really quite simple. We need to be praying that God will send out harvesters, workers into his harvest field. That's it. Now, when we would look at a situation like that, we would think, well, we need to organize a committee. We need to raise some money. Maybe we need to go to Congress, or maybe we need to go to the UN to fix a worldwide problem. Jesus said, no. Well, we need to fix a worldwide problem. I'm looking at the world. I'm looking at the needs of this world, and here it is. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. If you do that, everything else is going to take care of itself. So it's a prayer problem is really what we're talking about here. Let me make sure I got this the button. But in the prayer problem, there's other problems, all right? The problem is that people are not praying right. When was the last time you or I prayed? Oh, God, send out workers into your harvest field. When was the last time we really felt that need? And we were really urgently going to God to send out workers into his harvest field. I'm not going to guess exactly what your private prayer life is like, but if I was to judge from just the general prayers that I hear at dinner time, at bedtime, at, you know, various times in church time, well, let me ask you, when was the last time you heard that prayer prayed? Oh, God, please send out more workers into your harvest field. Now I look at my life and I wonder, why don't I pray that prayer more often? Why isn't that heavy on my heart? Maybe there's some other problems that lead to that problem, to my prayer problem. And indeed, in looking at this passage, I see seven problems that contribute to the prayer problem. The fact that we're not praying this as much as Jesus wants us to pray this. So let's consider a few of these other problems that we need to solve. There is a math problem in this passage. There is a harvesting problem. Confusion about how do you harvest. There is a helplessness problem. There is a harassment problem. There is a heart problem. And there is a vision problem. So we're going to quickly just tick through these. And maybe on the report card of your life, maybe you will find one or two that is leading to the prayer problem. And maybe you and I can fix that today. And maybe we can start applying ourselves to Jesus' problem. that we need more workers in the harvest, all right? So let's consider for a second the math problem. Jesus says, you've seen this symbol here, right? I'm told I have a laser beam here, right? What's that mean? That little carrot, that little arrow, greater than. The thing on the left is greater than the thing on the right. The harvest is plentiful. It's huge. Have you seen the millions of people who've never heard about Jesus? The problem is huge. We got to equalize that with workers. We need that greater than sign to become an equal sign. It's a math problem. Understand what the math is. Now, we could talk about the whole world, all right? And the 17,000 people groups in the world and the 7,000 that are the unreached people groups in the world. But let's zero in just on Bangladesh, all right? And how many workers we need there. 165 million people in the country of Bangladesh. Half the population of the United States living in the size of Lower Michigan. 16 times the concentration of Michigan. How many people live in your house? Multiply that by 16. And you get some idea. All right? We need a spreading and a multiplying effect for us to reach the people. This is just the way it is. There is a math problem here. Now, in Bangladesh, let me see if I have this number. Nope, I don't. That's the spreading thing. Okay, so in Bangladesh, we have one Christian worker for every 135,000 people. Now, what that would mean in West Michigan is that there's one church in Grand Rapids, one church in Kalamazoo, and one church over in Lansing. And none of these churches are big enough to actually support their pastor full time. But they are the only churches and Christians in the entire region. How many of you are going to church in that case? How many of you have ever even heard about Jesus in that kind of a situation? In reality, we in Michigan have 100 times the number of pastors, Christian workers, laborers, actually probably 1,000 times that many churches. Amazing. There's 330,000 churches in America. Did you know that? 330,000 churches. That's one church for every 1,000 people. They've got one for every 135,000 people. It's a math problem, all right? And we need to be in prayer about that. Maybe you figured out the math. Maybe we will still get praying. Or maybe there's another problem we got to solve, right? The harvesting problem. Before we share on that, I want to show you how BMW wants to spread. So we got to multiply, but then we can't keep everything, you know, all concentrated. We got to make sure it spreads, right? So this is the map of Bangladesh. When I first got involved as the director, there were three districts, these pink ones here, where we had about 150 students taking these Bible courses. Last year, we had 3,700 students, and they were in all these districts, and 14 of those districts had graduation ceremonies, and that's about 25% of the country having graduation ceremonies. We hope to have graduation ceremonies in 100% of the country, and to have at least 200 students in every one of those districts. So we've got a strategy to keep spreading, and we just made a decision about a week ago of what are going to be the three new districts. If the Lord is leading us, which we believe He is, what are the three new districts that are going to get a brand new staff member and create a permanent ministry? One is Cox's Bazar. There's a few students down there, but no staff member. One is Cox's Bazar. We're trusting the Lord to help us find a staff member for that district. One is Hobiganj, right over here. There we do have 70 students, I think, there, but no staff member. So we hope to staff that district. And then Bogra. Bogra is kind of right here. It's green, doesn't have anything in it right now, but it's such an important district that we want to get a work established there this coming year. So we're praying for God to send out 3 new workers. Can you pray with us for 3 new workers? They need to be good. They need to have a love for the Lord. They need to be grounded in the Bible. They need to be willing to live at sacrifice. They're not going to be, you know, rich by being on our staff. They need to be team players. We have a family of staff members that just is beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. But you know how division can come in, and we need people who are going to keep the unity of the Spirit. So we're praying hard for God to please call out workers that are going to be a great fit for us. So we're really excited about that. And here's what the multiplication looks like in BMW. Actually, we had about 100 students back in 2011. And you can see how it's really grown a bunch in these last few years. Just zooming up, actually outrageous growth, sometimes 50% on the year. We're trying to kind of tame it down just a little bit and make sure our staff training and everything can keep pace with that. So, Lord willing, we will be growing at 20% per year. Now, maybe some years faster. This last year, COVID-19, we might not reach our 20% goal because it's been really hampering us a lot. But God has been blessing in opening so many doors for us. We're super, super blessed. And this was our staff picture this year at our staff training time. So, Joe, do you know who that is hiding behind the shades?
Fremananda,
that's right. And he's one of Joe's best camera disciples. So what's he got in his hand right there?
His camera.
He's always at the ready. And he's always posting good pictures in Uncle Joe Sherman's BMW photography group page. And so the training continues. Even though Joe's not in Bangladesh, he's still training them with the camera. So we'd love for you to pray for our staff. These are the missionaries, right? I'm kind of a missionary, recruiter, trainer, visionary person. These guys are really doing the work. They're sharing the gospel. Day after day, they're leading the Bible studies and so forth. So you can get to know them personally through our prayer pages or our prayer folder and so forth. One of the things that we've completed this year is that Matthew Roy and his wife Jennifer have finished designating 4 area coordinators who now are carrying all the same authority that they've been carrying for the last 8 years. All right? And they've delegated their authority to these coordinators so that we can keep multiplying, because there's only so many people that you can manage. Is that right, Pastor Tom? Can you manage 130 employees? In 10 years, we hope to have 130 staff members. Is Matthew going to be able to be on top of all 130 of them? No. We've got to develop these area coordinators and have their capabilities of people management, people training, people encouraging, all those kind of things. So praise the Lord. We have the four segments of the country now with these area coordinators, and they're taking their responsibilities very seriously, and they need extra prayer. So that kind of gives a little view of how are we dealing with the math problem, the problem of multiplying and the problem of spreading in BMW. So our 7 problems, the prayer problem, maybe one of them is we never looked at the math. But now that we've looked at the math, we see, oh boy, we need to be praying for God to send out workers. The harvesting problem, just briefly, the problem is not that we can't do enough sowing and reaping. That's not the problem. We've got incredible technology these days to do sowing and reaping. Just when they invented microphones, that was a huge thing, right? And then Billy Graham could speak to hundreds of thousands and so on and so forth. It's not sowing and reaping. Technically, that's the problem. The problem is that people actually need shepherds. Lost people need to be sought and prayed for. The reason that more people are not Christians in Bangladesh is not because there's no radios and they can't hear gospel message. It's not because there's no Bibles that are printed and available that they can go to a store and buy. They are available. The problem is they don't have anybody to seek them out, to talk to them face to face. They don't have anybody to pray for them by name. They need shepherds. That's the harvesting problem. The harvesting really calls for shepherds. That's why Jesus says that they're like, the problem is they're like sheep without shepherds. Nobody to go after them. Now, I want to give you an example of shepherding. My dad came to Christ when he was, I think, 19 years old. And for the last 65 years, is he 84 this year? He's 85 this year. Yeah, so you know, for the last 65 years, he has been seeking them as a shepherd, praying for them, reaching out to them. And my mom joins in too, and she like, to this one cousin of mine, she's been sending the Guidepost magazine for, I don't know, maybe 10 years. And has no idea, you know, what's happening because she just fills out the subscription and the Guidepost goes over that. You know, it's a Christian magazine. It's kind of theology light, all right? It's not your, you know, evangelical quarterly, whatever. It's not your Moody Monthly. It's not your Christianity Today that kind of wrestles with some of the media issues, you know. But it's kind of interesting and inspiring and so forth. So they got an email this summer. It reads like this. Hi, Uncle Joe. It was great to see three emails pop into my box from you today. Mom and I visit. Mom is my dad's sister. Mom and I visit every day, and we are all so happy you are making good progress with physical therapies. Got Parkinson's disease, and he had a nasty bout with pneumonia, almost killed him. I think of you and Aunt Joyce often and wanted to share something I think may tickle you both. Steve and I, her husband, started going to church. The First Methodist Church here in Claremont, Florida. And we haven't missed a Sunday since Easter. The services are live, but online due to the coronavirus. Sometimes I go to the traditional service. Steve is partial to that one. And other times I go to the contemporary service. Often I go to both. Smiley face. Someday we'll even go in person. Anyway, since you gave me my first student Bible and single-handedly steered me toward the Lord, I just wanted to say thank you. That's 60 years of shepherding. That's what people need. People need somebody to love them and believe in them and bring them home. Never give up on them. Pray for them. Perhaps we don't see the need for shepherds because we don't see the helplessness problem. That would be another problem, right? Helplessness problem. Well, they can manage themselves, you know. Everybody's got to make their choices. And you don't understand. There is a helplessness problem, as Jesus says. They're harassed and helpless. They got no resources. They have nowhere to turn. They're captives of the devil. They're blinded by the god of this age. They're helpless. They're helpless. We can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. There's no bootstraps there. There's no government agency that can fix this. There's no deliverance. People don't need advice. They need a Savior who can rescue them. A Savior to provide deliverance. They're dead in their sins. And the Savior must enter in and breathe life There is a helplessness problem. Do we understand that people are absolutely helpless? And there's a harassment problem. This will get you, huh? The amount of suffering in this world, I mean, it's almost more than you can bear to turn the TV on sometimes or to look on the internet. The amount of suffering. There's Satan out there. Bengalis often experience demon oppression or demon possession. If you read through our prayer lists of our staff members, there's a number of them that will mention people in their circle that are struggling with demon possession. Satan and his minions. Then you've got society. Maybe there's class conflict, there's racial conflict, there's political conflict, there's religious conflict, you know, Hindu versus Buddhist, or Buddhist versus the Muslims. You know why all those, a million Rohingya fled from Burma a couple years ago and they're in Bangladesh? Because the Buddhists there hate those Muslims and have driven them out. There's also racial things involved. Driven them out. You go, oh, Buddhism is such a peaceful religion. Oh, yeah? Don't ask those Rohingyas about that. At the point of a gun and their gasoline burning their villages down, Buddhism a peaceful religion. Nice. If you ignore all the Buddhists, maybe it is. Hindus on Muslims, and everybody kills Christians. The harassment is incredible in this world, all over the place. Then, of course, there's sickness. Coronavirus is just the latest little deal, right? Seems like there's new diseases all the time, more and more cancer, more autoimmune problems. I mean, our systems are so complex that, and we think, well, science is conquering all. I don't know, people. It's conquered a few things or alleviated or improved a few things, but I think a number of them are getting worse. The curse on crops, that's been going on since, you know, Adam, you know, by the sweat of your brows, thorns and thistles, the amount of suffering going on in the world, the harassment problem. Do we see that? Does that move us? And do we care? Because there's the heart problem. If we don't have a healthy heart, we're going to go, well, whatever, you know, everybody suffers, so. But Jesus was moved with compassion. He had compassion on them. It mattered to him. He wanted to help them. We have a heart problem when we can look at people suffering and not be moved with compassion as Jesus was. A heart problem. Now, a heart that is healthy, see if we got something else on the heart. Do we have? We got a few points on the harvesting we already covered. And I needed to be clicking these, Sherry, because I wasn't paying attention. That always happens, doesn't it? I'm always like talking and forgetting to click my clicker. There's all the notes that you can put in your note. Here's the heart problem. A heart that is healthy knows its purpose. God created you for a purpose. He created you to serve others, to minister to others. The purpose of the saved is to serve others. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And 1 Peter 2:24, that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came, even the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So that's our purpose, and I'm free to serve because God meets my needs. What does God say in Matthew 6:33? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Who's going to meet your needs? Who's going to meet my needs? God is. So that I can do what? So that I can serve. So that I can meet other people's needs. So I can put others first. So when we have that kind of mentality, then as soon as we are exposed to a need, then our heart is in the proper condition. It's a healthy heart, and it will react with compassion automatically. So those are six problems that might lead to the prayer problem. Oh, I'm sorry, that's only five. The last one is the vision problem. Jesus saw the crowds. He didn't just put his blinders on and okay, my life, I'm really busy. I've got too much to do. Oh, dreadfully busy. I'm so busy. Was that Jesus? No. He saw the crowds. And at one point he said in John 4, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white and ready for harvest. Lift up your eyes. Do you have a vision problem? Do you spend time researching the needs of the world, specifically the need for Christ in the world? Get some mission magazines. Go to joshuaproject.net on the internet. joshuaproject.net. You can drill down on any country in the world, any geographic region in the world, any people group, any religious group, and you can learn about them. Open your eyes and look on the fields. Don't have a vision problem. Go to our Facebook page. Get tied into BMW. We got so much information. It's awesome, all right? And we can just plug you right in. So these are the problems that lead to the prayer problem. Let's fix it, right? Let's fix it. So sometimes we're busy, sometimes we're distracted, sometimes we just look away. We just can't take it. We don't know what to do about it. Jesus said, pray. Pray. Right? Look at the world, and it's going to lead you to pray. So here we are. We're getting our seven problems fixed, right? We'll take it in the correct order. We kind of worked our way backwards through the verse. Now we'll go frontwards through the verse. We're going to see the crowds with clear vision, okay? We're going to have compassion with our healed heart. We're going to recognize the harassment of people and what they're going through. We're going to notice the helplessness of people. We're going to understand the need of shepherds for the harvest. And we're going to be compelled to solve the math problem. And because of all that, we are going to pray. Pray earnestly. Pray consistently for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And when we do that, we've solved all the world's problems. And that feels good. That feels good. And Jesus wants us to be a part of that. So let's commit ourselves to pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field, shall we? Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for sending your Son. And Lord Jesus, you had a way of just summarizing and wrapping things up in the most compact way. Lord, help us to see as you see and to feel as you feel, to understand the needs of this world the way you understand the needs of this world. And Heavenly Father, right now, we're going to do just what Jesus said to do. Lord, we're praying right now for the three new workers we need, for Cox's Bazar, for Hobigonj, and for Bogura, that you will send workers to meet the need of spreading the gospel in these areas and setting up this Bible study ministry in these areas. Lord, guide Matthew to find just the right staff members that will be a good fit and will feel and hear a call from you, Lord, that they will be compelled, that this will not just be a convenient job opportunity, but, Lord, call them into your harvest. Give them your heart. And, Lord, help us to continue to pray for more harvesters, more workers. And, Lord, even call us. Make us willing as those first disciples. Right after they prayed this prayer, Lord, you actually sent them out to do a a ministry tour, an evangelism tour. Lord, help us to be willing to step up and do our part as well. Speaking the word, caring, shepherding, reaching out, and supporting your work. And Lord, we're so thrilled to be part of the solution to all the world's problems. Jesus, you are that solution. Thank you, Lord, that we can share you with this world. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.